The new Starz series, Marianne George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Progress. Hello, friends. I am so excited about today's guest. We met many moons ago on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C., and I think people might be pretty surprised that we call each other friends. Today, I am joined by none other than Adam Kinzinger. He has served in the Air Force Special Operations Command, Air Combat Command, Air Mobility Command, and the Wisconsin Air National Guard. He served as the United States Representative from Illinois from 2011 to 2023. The congressman is a member of the Republican Party, who originally represented Illinois' 11th District and later the 16th, and he became known for his vocal opposition to Trump's claims of voter fraud and attempts to overturn the Democratic election results. Adam Kinzinger was one of the 10 Republicans who voted to impeach Donald Trump for the incitement of insurrection in his second impeachment. He also voted to create the Select Committee to investigate the 2021 United States Capitol attack, to which he was subsequently appointed. Adam Kinzinger has written a book not only about his experiences on January 6th, but about the history of a party that he still counts himself a member of, but no longer really recognizes. The book is phenomenal, guys. I read it cover to cover in a day and a half. It's called Renegade: Defending Democracy and Liberty in Our Divided Country. And in the book, Kinzinger tells his story of faith, service, and his political duty in a democracy under siege. You'll hear about his childhood, his service in the Air Force, flying missions over Iraq, and his final tumultuous term in Congress as one of the few Republicans who voted to hold the former president accountable for his attack on American democracy. I cannot wait to dive into this conversation, and I cannot wait for all of you to hear Adam's perspective. Let's get to it. Well, Adam, I have so much I want to talk to you about, obviously, in terms of what's been going on in your life in recent years. But I first like to start with my guests and go back to the beginning because, you know, most of the folks out in the world who know you as, you know, this badass military career official and elected official might not know where you began. So if we go back, rewind, meet Adam as a kid at, let's say, 9 years old, Who were you? What were you into?
Oh, man. So you know how, like, every kid, they have something that they're kind of interested in that their friends aren't interested in. And
oh, yeah.
It kind of pretends like maybe what they're going to do in the future. So for me, I lived in Jacksonville, Florida when I was 6 years old. And I remember all of a sudden, kind of out of nowhere, getting interested in this mayoral race that was happening. And so since it was the
80s. As a six-year-old?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that weird? And that's what I'm saying. It's like a little unnatural. Oh. But for me, it was like, it wasn't that I was like, oh, government. But there was this election in Jacksonville, Florida, where the guy running had hot pink yard signs. Because it's the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have hot pink yard signs in the 80s.
That's very Miami Vice, too.
It totally was, especially because it's in Florida. So yeah. I remember I'm asking my parents, you know, like, what is this? And they explain, like, oh, well, this is, you know, a race and all that kind of stuff. And from there, I don't know. I just was kind of hooked on the idea, like the fanfare of politics. And then as I got older, I could start to fill it in with policy. So I would say I was kind of a bit of a nerdy kid on some of that, but I was always trying to fit in and pretend like I wasn't, you know, like I didn't want to come across as the political nerd. So I'd try to act cool and all these other stuff. But deep down inside, I'd go home and, you know, pay attention to what the race results were and stuff like that. So, and I also, at that age, you know, I loved the military. I loved airplanes. And so all this stuff kind of worked out in the long run. It's pretty amazing. But I was raised and I left this, but was raised probably till about college time frame in a very strict Baptist church. And I actually write about that a lot in my book, kind of the effect that that has. I would consider it in essence a cult. And it's actually interesting because I can find a lot of parallels to today's Republican Party. And but that, you know, that had an impact on me growing up, and me leaving that kind of cultish environment had an impact on me as an adult in a good way, I think. So, yeah, I guess that's how I'd explain myself. I was a little bit of a weird kid, but you can kind of see, if you'd have met 9-year-old Adam, you can kind of see what I was going to go do anyway.
Totally. I really feel that in my own life, you know, being able to draw some of the parallels. When I was, I think, 7, I started telling my mom she should pick me up from school at 2:45, even though school didn't end until 3, because Oprah started at 3. And I felt like I was being much more educated by Oprah. And here I am now, like, you know, so many people out here who are inspired by her, who we host our own interview shows now. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that tracks.
Yeah. That works out. Maybe you are kind of an Oprah. You're an Oprah. So you got that. You got a flash of that when you were young.
I mean, that's very kind. I think no one is Oprah, but I see the inspirational trail. And yeah, I was also a nerdy kid, clearly. So we would have gotten along even as children. Yeah. How right. do you think, you know, when you say the strictness of the Baptist church, I guess I'm going to try to ask you questions as though I haven't read the book, so that folks at home don't get confused as to what I'm talking about. When you talk about how strict the Baptist church was, the first thing that comes to mind for me is obviously that the military is a very strict environment as well. So how do you think you began to separate your identity from that, as you say, cultish strictness of the church? And do you think subconsciously there was something about a structure without religion that maybe felt like the right kind of strictness for you going into the military, or do they feel separate?
No, they feel very separate, but like on the church side, so the specific kind of brand of Baptist is called Independent Fundamental Baptist. Now, you know, you as a Hollywood person, you know, like Footloose, remember Footloose, where it was like the no drinking, no dancing. No, this is that. Okay. I was part of like that. Like, you can't drink, you can't, which obviously makes us, like, in essence, drink more ultimately, because, you know, it's like a rebellion thing. So I think what happened in that, so it's a very strict environment. My folks were not quite on board with that fully. So I had a lot more kind of flexibility than I'd say kids, you know, my counterparts and like the church would have. But it does, the thing is, it does teach you that everything is black and white. And you see this today, particularly in Republican politics, since I speak the language. I can see when people talk about things, or they can talk about things like globalism, which some people think globalism is a euphemism for anti-Judaism. It's actually not. It's, for a lot of these people, it's this idea of a one world government and like the end times. And And I can see that stuff. But, so everything is black and white, which is why now they can look at somebody like me and say, Adam's working for the devil because he's working against our man, Donald Trump, which, by the way, we can discuss more, but blows me away. And and so I think through that process, you can't be happy in that environment. I mean, you just can't. And I think I rebelled really hard when I was 16 years old, started drinking heavily. You know, I went to college and joined a fraternity and failed out of college and had to come begging to get back in. And I did. And I got straight A's after I got back in. But you can see where that happens. The military, to me, it was so to an extent, some of the structure and I think the black and white and the right and wrong can come into play in the early kind of interest in the military, because it's kind of like, you know, we're going to go, we're going to fight this fight. We're going to fight for America. But really the thing that drew me in and actually made me make the official decision was 9/11, even though I had started the process prior. And it's actually interesting. So as a pilot, we are a little bit not like your typical military. We're kind of, anybody that's in the military that knows pilots will tell you we're a pretty arrogant bunch. And the old joke is, how do you know you're in the bar with a pilot? Because he'll tell you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we were, it's kind of a lot more lax. So, but there was definitely, I would say that strict environment probably turned me to it initially. But ultimately, it was coming out of that and learning who you are and coming to grips with who you are, not being afraid of who you are, that I think refined me to the better person. And I'll also say the military did a lot in, I think, shaping particularly the last few years of my career in Congress, because when I got back from Iraq in 2009 and I decided to run for Congress, I remember thinking, look, if I'm going to ask and I'm going to vote for, you know, young people to be willing to go and die for America. And by the way, when you go into politics, you got to take those votes. Even if the vote's no, you've got to take these votes of literal life and death. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, if I'm going to be willing to take those votes and ask young people to die for the United States, I have to be willing to give up my career for the same cause. Like, what a minor sacrifice to lose your job in Congress compared to a 19-year-old with their whole life in front of them losing their life. And that, I think that coming out of the military and that really was something that stayed with me and in a good way, ultimately.
Well, I would also, you know, as a civilian, but I will go ahead and say, speaking of pilots, the USO tours I've done have all been on Air Force bases. So I've been in the been in the mix a little bit. You were pretty cool. I think there's also a seriousness and a weight to being part of the community.
Yeah.
You know, in the same way that I feel solidarity with union workers all across America and, you know, laborers around the world, you know, when we're striking as the Screen Actors Guild with the, you know, pilots and the flight attendants unions and UPS, like we've really been able to kind of lift the veil on this idea of, you know, what industries are privileged or not, and be honest about what it means to be in a union, what those protections offer. And I think about the depth of service like yours. And when you are willing to risk your life, when you are willing to, you know, leave home and family for these careers, and you go and you work, you go and you fight on the front lines as you did, you know what we're fighting for, both in, I would say, the way America succeeds in being who it says it is, and the ways we haven't quite lived up to our ideals yet, but we're striving to get there. And the seriousness of that, the sort of moral weight of that, the willingness to hold the dialectic, all these things that are true at the same time. You know, that our democratic ideals are some of the best on earth and that we haven't managed to make them all true yet. I think that there is a profundity to that that makes your service as an elected official probably mean more than, you know, some of the folks we see in Congress currently who enjoy being contrarian because they think it's funny. And who think that blowing up the country is their way forward. They operate, you know, as you talked about your upbringing in the particular brand of baptism you grew up in, they operate in this sort of fundamentalism, this Christo-fascism, this, you know, this dream of being these American oligarchs, which is so weird to me, by the way, because they go out and they rally against other places, other cultures, other countries, you know, particularly when you talk about 9/11, the Islamophobia that comes from so much of the right. And the things they say about Islamic fundamentalism, I'm like, y'all are doing, you're doing exactly what you say you're fighting here with Christian fundamentalism, and you're going against science, you're going against democracy, you're going against the Constitution, and you're making money to do it? Mm-hmm. Like, you couldn't be farther from anything in the pages of the Bible or any holy book in the world. It's so weird to me that it it's become these sort of talking points where people are owning each other. And it must have been so wild to see it from the inside, because you took the oath of an elected official and you took an oath to our military. Like, you know what the core of these jobs are supposed to be.
Yeah. I mean, look, that's, let me hit the oath thing real quick, because I think this is important. It's like, I had, during all the January 6th stuff, I would have so many members come up to me, particularly Republicans, and say, hey, thanks for what you're doing. I can't do it because, you know, my district would be pissed at me and all this stuff, right? Like, and by the way, my district would be pissed at me too, right? But the thing that, that's important to keep in mind is when you take an oath, you don't take an oath to, and I, the fact this shocks people when I say it, but you don't take an oath to your district. Like, if 700,000 people that I represented would have called me and said, you need to vote against impeaching Donald Trump and you need to not work on the January 6th committee, it is a completely irrelevant opinion that they have. Because when I took an oath, the oath I took was to the Constitution, right? There's a reason we take an oath to the Constitution, because our founders knew there would be a moment, there would be a day where that would compete, and the idea of holding up the Constitution would compete against the will of the people. And in that case, you have to hold to this thing. So yes, have we gotten things wrong in history? Absolutely. Are we trying to strive to get better? Yes. Are we ever going to be perfect? Probably not. But you look at the United States today compared to Russia, for instance, who's just lost, you know, they throw human life away. 315,000 Russian deaths in 2 years in the war against Ukraine, when the United States of America lost 2,400 in Afghanistan in 20 years. And we consider each and every one of those lives precious. So for then some of my colleagues to somehow talk about Russia as this defender of Christianity is BS, because that violates every value I know that Christianity holds. And so I think coming out of the military, and the interesting thing is, sadly, this doesn't translate to everybody that has ever served in the military, because I can point to veterans in Congress right now that frankly suck, and they don't understand that what the oath means. But I do think there's a tent among veterans that recognizes you fought with a team against a common enemy. Regardless of your opinions of the war, you fought with a team against a common enemy. That team you fought with was very different. They came from different backgrounds, different states, different, in many cases, different religions, different races, all fighting, all having each other's back, and working together even among differences. And I think there's a lesson that, frankly, all of politics needs to take in. My passion, frankly, for the next, I don't know, however many years, is to take all this preconceived notions we have about politics and how it works, and policies and answers and problems, and just ram dump all of it, flush it all out, and start again. We need a whole new way of thinking about politics. We need to find real problems that we don't necessarily know are out there that are out there, and solutions that we don't know are out there that somebody has. So income inequality is huge in this country, right? We've tried raising taxes. We've tried cutting taxes. We still have income inequality. I don't know the answer to income inequality, but somebody out there probably listening right now has the answer. And that's what we need to do, is get past our little egos and thinking that we know everything and look at the collective again and get answers. Like, restart the whole thing.
Yes. God, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, and it would be. And there's like, there's so much energy out there, and we have been beat down by these political leaders that are using us for profit. They're using us for fame. Marjorie Taylor Greene doesn't believe half of the stuff she says, but she's famous, and that's all she wants.
And now a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. The new Starz series, Marianne George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Well, and that's, I think, such a danger of our time. You know, people believe in the sort of false gods of social media and likes and who's, you know, quote, winning PR wars. It's like so... it's so detrimental, and none of it's grounded in truth. And I think what frustrates me as someone who, you know, though not an elected official, has spent close to 20 years as a volunteer in our political spaces trying to make democracy cooler for young people is that I know what you're saying is true, that so many of these people who are out here behaving like shock jocks from the congressional floor don't believe what they're saying, but they know it's going to be popular on Twitter. And that is galling to me because I can't fathom how we've lost the plot on the fact that we're supposed to do this for each other. We're supposed to be in this together. You know, even someone like you talking to somebody like me, there's going to be a lot of people who are shocked that we like each other. And there will be people who say to me, well, you know, how dare you interview him on your podcast? And this 2 years ago, he voted in this way that you don't agree with. Yeah, okay. So am I supposed to throw the baby out with the bathwater? Aren't we supposed to talk to each other and then maybe begin to see more of each other's positions and perhaps stand up for each other more and more across these quote unquote lines across the aisle? I want to not only believe in, but see what you're talking about, that we might be able to build a new collective and sit down and say, okay, what do we know works? Take your feelings and opinions out of it. What does all the research show us? You know, I can't help but think that when particularly on the side of the GOP, when their policies are wildly unpopular, they really like to come for us. They like to come for the women. You know, you've got Ken Paxton subjecting this poor woman in your new home state of Texas to this awful overturning. she's 20 weeks pregnant, wants to have this baby. It's not going to live, and she's at risk of dying, you know, and they're telling her she can't, at medical advice, have an abortion to save her life. And I'm going, this is what we're doing with our political power. You don't want to talk about income inequality. You don't want to figure out how to feed kids in schools. You don't want to create new, incredible American industry. You want to punish these poor families. It's like, I don't know. I know you don't claim a lot of the people in your party and you're vocal about that. But when do you think the party went so off the rails? You know, you've been inside it for so long. Do you think it happened, you know, since you ran in 2009, or do you think it was falling off the rails before then? In hindsight, what do you see as the kind of red flag moments?
Yeah, it's interesting. So if you look at, so in 2010, when I ran, it was kind of the advent of the Tea Party. And what a lot of people don't remember is the Tea Party in 2010 was very different than what it became in 2012. So in 2010, there were people that were ticked off about the healthcare law that hadn't been implemented yet. It passed, but it wasn't implemented into law yet. That's where the whole like repeal and replace idea came in, is because it was sitting there waiting to be enacted, but hadn't been enacted yet. And the idea for people was, well, let's put a new one in before this one takes effect. Well, when Obamacare took effect, the ACA, like that's when I went off and said, like, look, okay, it's in. Let's just fix the parts that don't work now because it's already in law. But there became this like litmus test of if you're a true conservative, which, by the way, there is no conservatism left in the GOP. It's become a party about nationalism, and there may be echoes of conservatism, but true conservatism, when you talk about the people that deeply believe it, it's all about the role of government, and that role of government should be less in people's lives and not more, while providing a social safety net regardless. So this became a litmus test. And on abortion, you know, what used to be nuanced positions on abortion, you know, every Republican presidential candidate and president has said, you know, they're pro-life with the exception of rape, incest, life and health of the mother. And many went even saying like, and let's ban after 15 weeks or something like that. Probably a position you don't agree with, but definitely a better position than, say, what Texas has right now. But what happened is, when the law was overturned by the Supreme Court, instead of the pro-life movement then saying, okay, now that this is where we wanted it to be, let's do everything we can to help women. Let's do everything we can to promote the use of birth control for those that want to use it for family planning. Let's do everything we can to say to women with pregnancies that they didn't want, let's make adoption easier for them. There are so many couples that want to adopt a child. Let's fix the adoption laws. There's so many ways they could have come around women and tried to say, okay, you may not agree with our position, but here's how we can make it better. Instead, what's happened is you can become instantly famous again by saying this lady in Texas that is literally her life is at threat, which there has never been until the last year any GOP person I know that would say that in the health or life of a mother, you can't have an abortion. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, this new extreme position has become the litmus test for conservatism. Why? Mm. Because everybody wants to be famous. And it is so, if I tweeted tomorrow something outrageous and crazy, I could be instantly known in this country. And that's what people are doing. And so, yeah, I just think this is where I would say like our generation and younger. So our generation down, we've got to get this kind of baby boomer generation. We all have boomers we love. Okay. But they have been in power for quite a while. There's a lot of anger in that. And it is time for our generations, when we finally do come and we take over politics in a full way, to be able to put aside these things that have divided us. Look, there's going to be a conservative movement in this country, and there's going to be a progressive movement in this country. And honestly, this country needs both, because we're kind of a check on each other. Now, let's all figure out how to get along again and be angry and fight. We can do that. That's all done in politics, but without shutting down our ability to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, and without being bloodthirsty about each other.
Right.
You know, it's not lost on me that you're having taken a position against a threat to democracy, against treason, put you in a position where your life was at risk.
Yeah.
you know, even for me, nobody liked your opinion. People really don't like opinionated women in this country. Good God.
You're right.
You know, and me talking about what I was watching with my own eyes on that day led to death threats and things. I mean, just things that I was astounded that people would say to another person. And people seem to really get off on it. They seem mm-hmm. to really enjoy the violence. And I don't know if that's because the former president set an example of violence and retribution. I don't know if it's because so many people, as you were saying earlier, in your party are courting, you know, dictators like Vladimir Putin, who, you know, puts people to death in his country and crashes airplanes with opponents on it and, you know, throws people out windows. It's frightening. And mm-hmm. I wonder how you make sense. Yes, you're a man of duty, you know, both in the military and in Congress. You believe in the calling and the purpose of your work, but also just as a human and a parent, how do you kind of reconcile with this boiling point we seem to have come to in the nation? How do you appeal to people to begin to turn the temperature down?
So it's a great question. And I realized I didn't fully answer your last question too about like, did you, you know, did it happen while you were there? So I'll put the two together and say, I can look back at my time in Congress and see echoes of what this thing became that either I didn't see or I kind of willfully ignored, because you end up, and I'm not exempt from this, right? Making compromises to stay in power. To some extent, compromises in politics you have to make, but when it's like, to the things that you hold dear and you kind of turn a blind eye to it, I have some guilt over that. But I also know that, you know, I'm glad I survived to be able to fight where I did. But I think Donald Trump served two purposes. So this kind of like really bad, whatever this bad undercurrent is in the GOP, it existed, but it existed in kind of the dark corners for a while. Donald Trump came along, and this is what we have to reconcile with when we talk about where people are and how do we fix it. So everybody in our hearts, every day, you have a fight in your own life between light and darkness. So every day you are bombarded with your own thoughts of like, screw it, I'm not going to get involved. I hate this person. I hate that. Right. And you have to try to fight that every day with brightness, with light, with goodness, whatever that goodness is to you. And that's a hard battle. And by the way, some days I lose those battles. Some days I'm sure you lose it where you just get down. But every day that's the fight. There's mistrust, right? Racism, whatever it is. And Donald Trump came along, and what used to exist in dark corners or in whispers at tables at fundraisers, he came along and now publicly said what was in the darkness of your heart. So if you had a mistrust for immigrants and you thought they were taking your jobs, you would never say that because, gosh, in polite company. And so you'd fight that urge. You'd fight that feeling. When Donald Trump stands in front of you and says it, and he says, they're coming to take your jobs. And the Democrats are, and Hollywood and the Democrats, they put together, you guys actually worship Satan, and you, this is a QAnon theory, you worship Satan and you drain babies' blood. And I've been accused of that as well, because now I'm in the Hollywood slash Democratic crowd.
I'm like, cool, I grew up a camp counselor, but tell me more about how I hate children. I love this story.
I know.
My God.
It's nuts. And so, but when they speak the dark parts of your heart, especially somebody in authority, it allows you to basically get rid of all of that personal feeling of like, I have to be accountable. You put your accountability onto the leader, and it's easy to let the darkness overtake you. It's easy to let that fear, that hate, that vengeance overcome you because it feels comfortable. And now Donald Trump has taken ownership of it for you. So you can allow him to, and it just destroys you as a person, and people don't realize it. I think there are many in my former party. I still call myself a Republican, but I don't vote Republican anymore. There are many in that party that I think are going to have very short lives because they're allowing themselves to be torn up from the inside. And I mean it legitimately. Their cortisol levels are spiked. Their anger is spiked. Their families, you know, don't want to talk to them because they're down the QAnon hole. And we all know that if you don't have family and love in your life, you don't live as long as you could. And mm-hmm. so what we have to do as individuals, I'd say, is, yeah, it's great to tweet. It's great if you're in a position like you are and I am to be out there as publicly as we can. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have the forum that you and I have to talk about this, just love the people around you, but don't expose yourself to toxicity, right? If I had half of my family on my dad's side disowned me through all this stuff, through this January 6th stuff, in a certified letter, I've had to forgive them in my heart, and I have, but I've not reconciled with them, and I have no desire to, because mm-hmm. that is toxic, and I don't need to I don't need to reconcile with them. So I would just say that to people, love those you can. By the way, mm-hmm. get a friend that doesn't think like you, and just kind of understand how they think. That's an important thing, but don't be in anything that's toxic.
And now a word from our sponsors. The new Starz series, Marianne George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
I think that's very true for so many things, whether that's, you know, family dynamics, relationships, you know, these political conversations. Figuring out who you're going to take with you into your phase two, whatever that looks like, who really shows up and is willing to do, you know, the work, who helps to set you free. I think those are incredibly important clarifying moments. And I think about what a clarifying moment, painful, I'm sure, when you talk about that sort of family dynamic in your life, but what a clarifying moment telling the truth about January 6th was for you. And, you know, for the friends at home, we've referenced it a few times. Your new book, Renegade, is phenomenal. I was so, so inspired by it. I read it so fast. And I was reading some of the reviews on it, and one of them said raw, provocative, and clear-eyed. And I was like, my three adjectives also, because that is really how it feels. It's so honest. And I guess I wonder, Was the fallout from the day what made you want to write it? Was it the realization of how bad the day was? Was it the time you spent sort of replaying what you went through in the Capitol on January 6th? What made you feel like you had to put pen to paper on this?
So, you know, writing a book, somebody once told me, they're like, if you write a book about yourself, it feels inherently arrogant. And I'm like, yes, it does. Because I, you know, you write it and you're like, who wants to read me writing a book about me, right? But what I came to realize is my story. So Liz Cheney's book is out now, which goes into great detail of everything from Election Day until almost present day with Donald Trump and, you know, what she and I went through on the committee. And I talk about that as well in my book. But mine, I figured my story tells the broader story of the GOP from particularly 2010, but I even go further back to 1992. Yeah.
That was really helpful.
Yeah, because I ask, like, so many people, you know, 92, for instance, I was at this Christian Coalition convention, and I didn't even realize until I started doing the research that that was the first time the GOP and evangelical Christianity actually met officially and in essence created this alliance that sort of existed in the past in the 80s, but not fully. And then you see going forward how that kind of overtook the role of kind of traditional Republican. The Republican Party just used to be about business. They didn't even care about social issues, honestly. That wasn't even on the, it was just like pro-business stuff. And so that was the purpose in writing the book, was just for people to be able to, through a microcosm of a story, to see these broader things that have concerned me about the party, that have concerned me about this country. And you know, and the other thing is, I hope some of these folks have been able, that particularly that, I don't know if you've been through, I don't know everything about your history, but if you've been through anything like where all of a sudden you realize like who your real friends are.
You know,
for me, yeah. And so for me, going, turning against Donald Trump, these people that I thought would be friends, I was always kind of against Trump, but I was never so outspoken, that I thought would be friends, would disown me, would turn against me, whether it's family. My co-pilot in Iraq a year and a half ago sent me a text that said, I was ashamed to have ever flown with you. And while that hurts, and you should talk to somebody about that, and I've had to, the reality is I now know that that wasn't a true friend. And there is some blessing in that, I guess.
I think so. I think there's a real truth to when people react to you standing up for what's right, be it for you as an individual, you know, refusing to tolerate an abusive relationship or some other terrible environment, or in this case, you standing up for what's right for the Constitution, and their reaction to you making yourself bigger in defense of goodness, their reaction is a repulsion or a discomfort. That's a big sign, because people who don't want to see you grow, who don't want to see you really stand in the clarity of your moral character, are people you don't want in your circle anyway.
That's right. That's right.
Painful.
Because, yeah, and you end up, you find that, like, it, you know, we're naturally tribal creatures, so we like the comfort of numbers. We like the safety of friends. Mm-hmm. And you find that, and I think this happens, not to get back right to politics, but I think this happens a lot in political circles, and particularly my former political circle, where, you know, there's whatever some controversial issue is, you know, all of a sudden you can't have a nuanced approach to that issue because you're afraid that if you come out and say, for instance, you want background checks on guns, or you want to raise the gun purchase age, or you want to ban on assault weapons, whatever it is. Now in that group of friends or political activists that are kind of your tribe, if you've gone outside of the tribe, they're going to excommunicate you. And so that's why I think, too, you see in politics now, this like monolithic feeling of certain principles, why there's no nuanced approach to these different issues, because people have turned their political circles into their social circles, and they can't get kicked out of their social circles or they're going to feel isolated. I mean, I think, Sophia, I think people fear more than they fear death. I think people fear being kicked out of their tribe. I think they fear being isolated more than they fear death. Why is it that suicide rates went up during COVID? Because people felt isolated. And that's the biggest fear. And I saw that in the cowardice of my colleagues when it came to January 6th, who were who knew what the right answer was, but they didn't want to. It's not even that they didn't want to not get reelected. It's they didn't want to take all their text messages from their family and friends that I had to take. In essence, kicking them out of their tribe. And so that's, I think it's something to keep in mind when you talk about conflict. The at the base of conflict between two people, two entities, even two nations, if you boil down and you strip down all the layers of the onion, what you get to is a core of fear. There's always fear, and that fear leads to conflict. And in many cases, it's fear of being kicked out of the tribe or excommunicated.
Well, and you know, when you think about what all the scientists teach us about our brains and evolution, and you know, the fact that we've still got this little lizard brain in us that is petrified all the time and very tribal, you see how we can other people so easily. But part of the point of human evolution and, you know, philosophy and living in the year 2023 is that we're supposed to have learned better and understand more and know that there is more than enough, you know, in terms of resources and everything else on this planet. And yet here we are being these tribal little animals. When tribalism, as you said earlier, is let out of Pandora's box in the way that Donald Trump managed to do it, you know, he brought all of the darkest lizard brain whispers that so many people were hiding or doing the more mature brain work of tamping down. He brought them all out and, you know, put them on the menu. Obviously, so many people saw the danger in that. You saw the danger in that. You were not a Trumper. But when you knew that there was this plan that these protesters, that, you know, these rioters were going to march to the Capitol, I'm curious about what, as a military man, it felt like to prepare for that. Because you mention, you know, in your book, you brought your gun to the Capitol that day. To me, that signals that you were worried about something happening in a very serious way. So what was your mindset on the morning of the 6th? And how did your sort of worst fears, I guess, come true? Can you kind of just walk us through the day a little bit?
Yeah, so, you know, I had predicted violence actually on a phone call with Kevin McCarthy and all the other Republican members of Congress. And people ask me, well, how'd you know there's going to be violence? I'm like, it's easy. I looked at Twitter and I saw the death threats against me because I was, you know, it was basically Liz Cheney and I were the two most outspoken saying the election wasn't stolen. And I said to Kevin McCarthy, you're convincing half of the country that the election was stolen. There's going to be violence because honestly, and let's be clear, if an election really was stolen, we should all be rioting on the Capitol because, you know, the whole thing about the founding of the U.S. against the British was taxation with representation. You know, we were founded in revolution. So there's nothing wrong with revolution. If truly it's being stolen, the problem is it wasn't being stolen. And you're convincing and you're abusing patriotism. And so I knew there'd be violence. Now, I don't know if I knew that they were going to sack the Capitol per se, but I knew there was going to be violence against members of Congress like me. I had the threats. I mean, people were posting, you've probably had this in yourself. Because again, the crazies get attracted to Hollywood and politics, right? And particularly if you're in Hollywood involved in politics, you probably get a double dose of crazy. But I would get so many tweets of like a hangman's noose or, you know, we were talking about fundamentalism. Fundamentalists in general, they hate people of their own kind that pretend to be like them that aren't. It's like fundamentalist religions fight other people that claim to be the same. Fundamentalist Republicans hate me more than they hate Democrats because they think I'm an apostate. So I asked my wife to stay home that day. I used to say I told my wife to stay home that day, and I learned that you have to say you ask her, which I did. And so she stayed home, and but I could tell my staff. My staff stayed home. So it was just me in the office, and I took my gun for the first time. I'm usually armed because of the threats I get against me, but I never would take my gun to the Capitol because there were so many police officers there, and I'm not somebody that carries to feel cool. I carry for protection, and I'm licensed to do it. But that day I did, and I went to the floor at the start of the proceedings, and by the time I kind of got there and the proceedings kicked off, I had this sense that something really bad was going on. I started to see these, you know, reports on Twitter. So I actually went back to my office. And by the time I got to my office, that's when the pipe bombs were discovered at the RNC and DNC. I opened my window, which is, you remember my office, behind my desk, my window actually overlooks the west front of the Capitol. Yeah. And I opened that up and I looked out the window, and all I could hear was just boom, bang, pop, explosions. And it was that moment that DC Metro Police showed up to defend the perimeter of the Capitol. Now, in these conspiracy theories, there are videos of Capitol Police retreating, removing bike racks, opening doors, and the crazies try to use that as an example of, well, Capitol Police were in on it. No, Capitol Police were overrun, and the bike racks were being used as a weapon. And so Capitol Police had to remove those bike racks because they were being used as weapons.
Well, yeah, they were beating people with them.
They were, yep. And so they were trying to defuse the situation. So DC Metro came up. They were able to hold that door where we saw all that violence in the west front of the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that poor young man being crushed in the doorway.
Yeah, and I sensed, and I look, I'm a man of faith, but I'm not one of these that walks around and feels like evil and darkness or anything, right? But that moment, it felt evil, and I cannot explain it beyond that. Maybe people think it's psychological. I don't know. But I just felt this like darkness of like, this is a bad moment. And I end up, in essence, barricaded in my office and until the Capitol was cleared. And for 187 minutes, the president of the United States of America was sitting in his office waiting to see if this would be successful. And only when he saw that it would not succeed, that law enforcement was able to turn the tide, only then did he begrudgingly put out a statement calling for the violence to end. If that is not an attempted coup on our country, then there is no such thing as a coup.
And now a word from our wonderful sponsors. The new Starz series Marian George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
And what you all have discovered since about the fake elector plan, about, I mean, the literal plans, they made PowerPoints, they made documents about how they were going to overturn a legitimate election, call it stolen, and overturn a legitimate election and install fake electors to literally carry out a coup against American democracy, all because a man who apparently didn't get hugged enough in his childhood can't stand to lose.
Yep, absolutely. Like,
it's truly shocking to me. And I think, you know, watching it that day, I felt, I guess by proxy, what you're explaining, you felt it, the darkness of it.
Yeah.
The energy, it felt like bloodlust to me. And seeing those gallows being erected and hearing those rioters screaming, "Where's Nancy?" And then, you know, reading the reports about Ayanna Pressley's panic buttons being removed and people hunting for AOC. And I mean, the violence they wanted particularly to do to women of color that serve in elected office was, I mean, it made my blood run cold. I have goosebumps all over my body now thinking about it, because it is that unleashing of the worst parts of who we have historically been and the worst things we've ever done, and to put all of it in like a cauldron and let it explode, you know, in the sort of hallowed halls, one of our most sacred institutions. I mean, it was hard to fathom. And I think what's been really shocking to me is that watching it didn't make everybody go, "Okay, enough. We've gone too far." You know, that you still have members of the GOP saying, "Well, we're going to release all the tapes and we'll prove it didn't happen." And it's like, no, the tapes are just worse. Everything just makes it worse.
Yeah, completely.
How do you make sense of it now?
So it's crazy because I was reminded, you know, that in the aftermath of January 6th, the GOP, with rare exception, was saying this has gone too far until Kevin McCarthy went to Mar-a-Lago and reinvigorated and brought to life Donald Trump again. And then everybody's like, well, if Kevin's going to Mar-a-Lago, we have to be on Trump. And then the rationalization started. It was even no matter what, in the face of evidence, the rationalization is all about, again, safety in numbers. Our side, even if we're wrong, we have to be right. And so we're going to be right. You know, you talk about the bloodlust, and I'll tell you what was interesting. So I had a situation in Milwaukee where a guy was murdering his girlfriend, and I it's a long story. I'll keep it short. I had to disarm him, and I fought a guy with a knife with my bare hands and disarmed him. And I'd much rather fight a guy with a gun than a knife. A knife is more lethal close. But I say that to say, when I got him down, I had made the decision in my mind to kill him, and I would have been justified in doing it. And thankfully, I wasn't able to kill him because I was too occupied simply disarming him. But I know that feeling that went through my body. You become an animal, and it's fight or flight, it's survival. Mm-hmm. I made a decision to kill this guy, killing his girlfriend, and I know everything that was in my mind. And again, thankfully, I didn't do that. But I can look at what these folks are doing on those steps and relate to that feeling. I had that fight or flight survival based on a legitimate danger to my life and the life of an innocent woman. They had convinced themselves that that same thing exists. And so you talk about bloodlust. I think you're right. I think they wanted people to die. They said to Michael Fanone, or in his presence, shoot him with his own gun. Mm-hmm. Like, these are people that probably go to church, people that would never say anything like that in a normal time, now wanting this police officer who they don't know to be shot with his own gun. They were in lizard braid fight mode because they had been convinced. And of course, in mob violence as well, we know the psychology of that, but they had been convinced that it was the right thing to do. And this Donald Trump and everybody that enabled him have to be held accountable. It was right to arrest the people that have been at the Capitol, and they need to be tried to the max extent of the law. But we have to make sure those that led them there are also paying the greatest price.
Absolutely. I mean, Charles Manson's in jail for the murders he instructed other people to commit. Accountability matters here, and accountability for the most, you know, sacred office in the land. I mean, it is so, it's abhorrent to me that everybody, for some reason, with Donald Trump goes, yeah, but he's Trump. It's like, what are you going to do? Because everybody agrees that he's a ridiculous person, knows he's a dangerous person, but because he's ridiculous, thinks you can't hold him to account. Why do you think he has so much pull over House Republicans? Is it just the, you know, impressions he makes on the internet? What has he got?
So one of the things his superpower is a lack of shame. If you have no shame and you're a public figure, I mean, let's take Matt Gaetz, right? I mean, the guy's defense in Florida was 17 is legal in Florida. I mean, that's somebody without shame, and then going out and showing their face. Donald Trump has no shame. So he can literally directly lie, a lie that is very provable by his own words the day prior. And he doesn't care because he has no shame. So I think it started out as a fear. People were afraid that he would tweet against them, and people were afraid. And I think as good people left Congress, they were replaced by some people that truly believe this insanity. It's not a majority, but there's a handful that truly believe the insanity. And then I think the rest of it is just when Liz Cheney and I do the right thing and you're in a cult, you can kick one or two people out of the cult. You can point at them. You can excommunicate them. You can say, look at what happens when you go outside of the cult, and it keeps everybody else in the cult disciplined. And I think that's what has happened with leaders in the GOP is they've seen the example of what's happened to others, and they've been told basically don't go out of line. And just like with a cult or anything else, everybody has to stand together to see the truth. And they're not doing it. When everybody except Chris Christie on the Republican debate stage says that it is a witch hunt against Donald Trump that the DOJ has come along, I'm not surprised that 70 to 80% of Republicans then believe that it's a witch hunt against Donald Trump, because all the people they trust are telling them that. But all the people they trust are lying to them and know it. This is why I'm excited about the next generation, because I think there is a reverence for institutions, but there is an irreverence for being lied to. I think there is a generational shift that's coming. And I think people have to take – Donald Trump is going to try to wear us out and continue to lie and get us to where we carry this weight of the world on our shoulders. And eventually we're just like, I can't win. We can't beat him. I'm just going to give up. And that's what he's counting on. He's shameless, and he's got a lot of energy somehow to continue to try to get people like you and I to give up. And the key in this is we have to outlast him, because if we outlast Donald Trump, we'll win. If we get tired and we give up, he will win.
Well, we're going into an election year, and obviously with everything happening, you know, in the country and around the world, you know, war in the Middle East, war in Ukraine. I mean, the suffering is unimaginable. It feels like nobody's getting anything right. There is real fear about this man becoming president again. Do you think it's possible? And would that be doomsday for our country?
I do think it's quite possible. I think we're naive to think that Donald Trump can't win, because this is exactly what we thought in 2016. I think depending on where the economy is, the economy is in decent shape, but for some reason it hasn't been communicated well, or the media hasn't covered it well, whatever the reason.
I mean, the media
is
really failing us on the communication of this.
That's true. And so, and people, we can't underestimate people who just decide all of a sudden, like, I'm going to vote for Trump because I think it felt better under him. You know, these esoteric discussions of democracy, which are the most important discussions that we can have, to a lot of people, they're just like, whatever, democracy, it's always going to survive. I want to make sure that the economy is better, which is where the Democrats have to do a really good job of selling that message about where the economy is, how your life is better today than it wasn't. And we have to have a unnatural. So for anybody that's listening, that's like, why would she have Adam Kinzinger on? Okay. Let me just tell you this. We have to have a unnatural alliance between the sane right, the center, and I would consider myself a centrist, and the left to defend democracy. Because if we're going to start saying, yeah, I want to defend democracy unless you think differently than me on a different subject, well, that's anti-democratic in and of itself. But secondarily, you're never going to get to 51% if you want to start only working with people that think just like you. Because not the majority of the country doesn't think like me. The majority of the country doesn't think like you. There's like eight different ways the country thinks, and they all make up whatever, you know, 15%. So that's what we have to do to work together to defeat Donald Trump. Because I honestly, like, I'll vote for Joe Biden. I'll campaign for Joe Biden. I don't care who the Democrats put up. The one thing that we have to vote on in 2024 is defeating Donald Trump.
Yes.
Because the second part of your question is, can we survive it? And I do not believe that we can survive another term of Donald Trump. And I don't say that lightly.
I don't either. I think he got very close to becoming the dictator he dreams of being. And should he get another chance, he won't fumble it.
Correct. Correct. And he will put people around him that don't believe in the Constitution. You may hate Bill Barr, but Bill Barr said, nope, sir, I'm not going to violate the Constitution. Donald Trump will never put somebody like Bill Barr in. He'll pick the guy that says, you are the Constitution, Mr. President, and I'll do whatever you want.
And that should terrify us all, really.
Yep.
Is your willingness to really tell the hard truths part of the reason that you decided to go over and work at CNN? Because I think it's such a cool move that you're going over there to be a commentator. You know, I mean, honestly, partially because Trump loves to parrot things that don't make any sense. But, you know, everybody thinks of CNN as being like the left news network, which really it's not. It's pretty center, if anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just said you consider yourself a centrist. Are you just leaning all in and trying to make sure that, you know, you can add perhaps an often unheard voice in that space to make sure people are ready for 2024?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's, you know, I've always loved doing TV. I've always loved the media side of things. It's just enjoyable. It's a great opportunity to kind of keep a platform for what I'm trying to say and what I'm trying to do. And so I've loved it. And I want to have a balanced perspective there. It is, you know, obviously CNN has kind of gone left. It's gone right. It's back to the center. But I think when it comes to things like foreign policy, it's a really good news station for that. That's something I'm very passionate about, is the U.S. role in the world and foreign policy. And, you know, I'm also putting a lot of energy in I have an organization called Country First, and we've just started Country First Academy. And what we're doing is, doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat, if you're willing to put the country over the party, we want to, like, we're going to train you in what it takes to be a candidate, how to run. Basically, I want to do democracy building here at home. We're actually really good as a country at sending NGOs overseas to help countries learn how to do democracy, because we thought it was automatic here. It's not automatic here anymore.
Right.
We have to build democracy here at home again. And so that's what I'll do. And maybe someday I get back into the business of running for office, but we'll see.
Oh, democracy building feels so exciting to me. Please sign me up. I'm ready.
I will. We got to get it done.
Would you say that, well, maybe your answer is the project you just mentioned, or maybe it's figuring out, you know, what the long-term goal is. But right now, from this vantage point at which you sit, when you look at your life, what would you say is your work in progress?
That's a good one. What is my, I think it's my work in progress is coming to, like, on a personal level, it will be coming to grips and peace on that. I will do everything I can for the country, for democracy, but also recognize I'm not the one that can save the world. And there really is nobody. It's a collective we have to all do together. And so that's what it is. It's just continuing to remind people, to build people, to work towards, as I believe this was Abraham Lincoln talked about, a more perfect union. We'll never have a perfect union, but it will be more perfect. It'll be a reminder to people that, look, all government is and all politics is, it's a way to avoid violence, and it's a way that we all figure out how to live together. That's all politics is. Really something basic that we need to get right.
I like that. And I think for me, always figuring out how to bring it back to us. You know, democracy isn't supposed to be about you or me. It's for us.
That's right.
And figuring out how to make sure we can listen to each other and learn and figure out how to create better futures feels like the goal. So I don't know. I'm always very inspired when I hear you talk about your perspective on how to do that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I've always appreciated your intense interest in the future of this country as well. It's much easier for you, and frankly for me too, but it would be much easier to just kind of do your job, you know, sit by the pool and drink a Mai Tai. But you've chosen to put your efforts where your mouth is, and that means a lot. I hope that energy you have and that desire continues to spread to more people.
Thanks, Adam. I really appreciate that.
Of course. You bet.
Always a pleasure. And thanks for coming on the show today.
Yeah, it was great. It was great being with you. And maybe next time we talk, it will be in a better situation and Donald Trump will be on the path to losing or in jail. Either way, fine with me.
I love jail. Let's aim for jail.
Okay, I'm in.
I think traitors should go to jail. Just like a baseline plan.
I agree. That should just be a standard thing. Let's just make that a standard thing.
Okay, great. That'll be our campaign slogan someday.
I like it.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you.
Yep, you bet. Take care.
Okay, talk to you soon. The new Starz series, Marianne George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but it shockingly is. With nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. This show is full of wit, scandal, action. You will not be able to look away. I know, because I couldn't. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.